Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Aki's here. Bree's here. Jacob's here. I know Aki's dying. How are the other two of you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I mean, theoretically, we're also dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a theoretical thing. Everyone is clearly also dying.
But I am dying joyfully because we just got a hydrate redemption. My beverage of choice tonight, Mountain Dew Supernova from Canada.
Nice.
Oh my god, I'm so happy. It is so fucking good.
So what is the flavor palette of that one?
Berry melon.
All right. Yeah.
Oh my god, so good. So fucking good. Hasn't been in America in about 15 years.
Fuck.
But Canada's gotten it a handful of times, and this time they're getting it in bottles, and I found somebody on eBay selling bottles, so nice. I bought some. And then a few days later, I saw somebody selling a better deal, and I went with those.
So you bought some more.
The thing is, the first guy, I bought like...
Yay!
Oh, thanks, Jacob, for the sub.
You're welcome. Yay.
The first guy I bought like partway through March, it didn't ship yet.
Oh,
damn.
The second one I bought earlier this week and it's here now.
Hmm.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. So when this other one comes, because last night I attempted to cancel the order and then today it mysteriously finally shipped.
Oh.
So when it does show up, I think the guy should have taken the out because he's at best getting neutral feedback. For taking a fucking month to ship.
Yeah.
Like, I know they've been in the hands of Canadians since early April, late March. The fact that it didn't ship until now. I will hydrate again with my Mountain Dew Supernova Berry Melon. Ah, it's so delicious. I'm on my second bottle of the day.
How many bottles left do you have?
22.
Nice.
Okay.
It was a 24 pack. And honestly, after shipping and tax, it was not even $80. Do the math on that. That's barely over $3 a bottle shipped.
Yeah.
And that fucker weighed in at 45 pounds.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
That was not cheap to ship.
Yeah.
So, I got a ton of beverage for a very, very reasonable price, especially because they're only in Canada.
Yeah.
A flat. I wish I got a flat of them. Man, can you imagine, like, a full fucking pallet of Supernova? Oh. Get the Pepsi guy to just back up to my door. Let's fucking do this. I am
in. Sounds good. I'm all for anything with strawberry flavor in it. I love strawberries.
Oh, it is very, very good. Very good. So anyway, how was everyone else's week? Because mine was fantastic with the Mountain Dew.
I got my mom from the airport the other day. So I have mom here. We're doing foodie stuff and wedding stuff and catching up. I haven't seen her since, I don't know, it's been a while.
I watched Speed Racer, and it was fantastic, and I was actually able to watch most of it, which shocks me.
Now, are you gonna go see it in the theater?
God, no.
They're re-releasing it, and they managed to... so it's getting a 4K disc release at the end of the month, nice. And they were doing like a limited run of... normal theater showings. But of course, most of it's like Saturday mornings, and like half of them are sensory friendly ones, which I was like, I do not want to watch this with the lights on. Like, I get it. But like,
yeah, not with this movie.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah, that I don't think is going to help very many people.
Well, it's one of those like autism friendly showings.
Which, that's okay. A good movie for it when you think about it. That is a great movie.
Yeah, but then like I was like, whatever. I'll just go see like one of the evening showings. And I it was like the closest one to us was like an hour and a half away. But then
so when I got there. Hirsch,
no, because that hasn't even happened yet. So Emil Hirsch, who played Speed Racer in the movie, he made an announcement that Warner Brothers was also trying to secure as many IMAX screens as they could on short notice. And so April 20th and 21st, it will be doing IMAX showings. And I am super soaked because stoked. Not super stoked. Yeah. I mean,
you're both.
I'm excited. You wet your pants.
And came at the same time. But anyway.
Fucking faucet over there.
It's like a fire hose. And what's really weird is that it's like you can't depend on a theater to be showing it both days. So check your local listings. But what really sucks is that none of the IMAX screens in my area are showing it, but like in the next county over, they are. And so I'm going to try to get off work early on Monday, bring the kids, and we're all just hopefully going to go see Speed Racer on 420.
You should just take off Monday completely and join the SML podcast interview, which is happening Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern U.S. time, as Joe Cam will sit down with the co-founders of Snegg Games to talk about the 20-plus Warhammer games they just released on PC, as well as game preservation in general.
Nice.
I'm excited about that chat. And Jacob, you should join.
I'm going to be working.
That's why I said you should take off work and join.
I don't have enough sick
like
time
led
to be
with
able to do
that. I led with yes. that. You should take
someone off. Needs to join you, because this time I won't be able to. I might be able to the latter half of it, but maybe.
I'll probably be awake, but I think I have peachy that morning, so.
Oh, geez.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be walking.
While you're
to
getting
the
stretches through the interview and just be like, so.
Oh, I know, right?
So, how does it feel? To be a developer that's into preservation, and what kind of titles would you like to focus on?
Man, they have me doing these exercises called wall angels, and I really hate them. They hurt.
What do you do for those?
You have to like squat down a little bit while you're leaning up against the wall, and you have to like put your arms flat against the wall and then try and do like, you know, like you do a snow angel, but you have to bring your arms up and you have to have your head against the wall, and it just hurts.
I'm out when there's the whole like squatting against a wall thing.
Yeah.
My knees don't like that.
I used to have to do that shit for punishment. I hate that shit.
Yeah, my knees don't like it either, but my neck. I'm doing PT for my neck and my knee at the same time. So I had to beg the therapist to not break me before my wedding.
Damn.
Yeah.
And they're like, tough shit.
Same for my dominatrix.
Good stuff. Jacob, anyway. what going on with you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nope. Just, Cat. You know, being awkward.
Yeah.
All right.
Aki, anything you want to talk about?
Well, other than Speed Racer, I just got a couple model kits in.
Oh my god, no way.
Today. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you get?
I got the Red Ashtray Flight type, master grade of that, and I got a couple HG kits that were the V8 and Mercurius Souvance, which are a somewhat rare kit to get a hold of, but one step closer to finishing my Wing collection, so I'm pretty stoked. Yeah.
Or stoked.
Yeah. Definitely. On that, I've just been working on completing my Knights of the Round Table collection, putting them together.
Wait, what's this?
That is a little series by SNAA, and it's just a Chinese company. They're not attached to like a video game series or anime or anything like that. They're just really cool
Gunpla
mechs that look kind of like knights that are fairly cool. And I have all but one of them, and I've put together like three of them in the past weekish. So,
oh wow, yeah, so these are pretty dope.
I know, right? The only one I'm missing is the giant Axe Lancelot. I've been trying to get my hands on that for the past.
I was actually just about to be like, months. Oh man, that thing's like Lancelot looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, like, it does. I am so bummed. I can't find that fucking thing.
You should share some pictures in general or in Aki's bullshit or something, because I kind of want to see these.
Just look up SAA Knights of the Round Table.
Dude, I'm streaming. I don't like using my computer if I don't have to.
Give me a second. I can actually toss pictures up of the three that I've built.
SAA.
I just threw it in chat.
Yes, yeah. I'm looking at the link now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, these are pretty dope.
Almost all of them are super, super cool knight-looking ones. One of them I've built does not particularly look like a knight.
I don't think all of these are Knights of the Round Table names. I don't remember Kai or...
They are not. at all.
Or Lamorak.
Yeah, that Lamorak's actually one I'm working on right now.
Percival's kind of cool. I like,
yes,
the wings kind of look like stained glass.
Very I much. Like this I have Emperor series one, the Fire Lord.
Yeah, it's, that's one like, I was about to say. Pink.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
That one looks pretty dope.
I like the Marshall Emperor one.
Yeah, the Emperor series is the series I might get into that after I finish these, because I really like the SNAA kits. They're just really cool looking. But I figured lots of people were talking about the Knights of the Round Table, and I was like, okay, I'll get one. And then after I bought one, I was like, I also want this one. Oh, and this one. And then I end up buying all but the one I can't fucking find anywhere.
Oh, the giant Axe Lancelot's only $20. That's a cheapo.
Yeah, so well, it would be $20 if it was still around. I can find it on like eBay from China for like $70 plus another like 20 to 50 for shipping. And I know when it gets here, I know the shipping company would turn around and FedEx would charge me some more money on top of that, probably another 50.
Here's a model you could put together. Momo the Milky Cowgirl.
No. God, the fact that I actually know what kit that is actually kind of hurts my soul.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Oh, dang. Beautiful. Yo, there's Ronin Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Anyway, should we get to news for the week? We should.
Sure. Yeah, because I can go on about Gunpla forever.
Yeah, I know. So,
quote unquote.
Let's talk about non-Gunpla stuff. Well, actually, something is kind of ish.
There's maybe Ninja later. Turtle Gunpla. What the heck?
Oh, yeah. Like, those are cool.
They are kind of cool.
Close the browser. Huh? Close the browser.
Why?
Because we got to do news.
I'm just going to talk about random shit in the background.
Yeah, I know you are. And when I ask you about something in news, you're going to be like, what? I wasn't listening. I was looking at Gunpla. What?
There's Lilo listening. And Stitch Gunpla. That's weird.
Anyway, PlayStation Plus game catalog for April was announced. They're getting a nice chunk of games with the Crew Motorfest. Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered is hitting PS5 with the complete edition to hang PS4. Football Manager 26 console. Warriors Abyss. Jacob, you might be excited about that one if you had a PlayStation. Squirrel with a Gun, The Casting of Frank Stone, and Monster Train.
Nice.
That's a decent cool. month.
I was going to say Squirrel with a Gun is that came up recently when I was asked about some of the weirdest games that I had done for the show. And I had to explain that my mom was taking Oxy, and that was the name of the episode. We talked about that. Yeah.
That game has gotten a bunch of free DLC stuff.
For her knee, to clarify. She was not just taking
I do it for the fuck of it. I just...
Yeah.
Chug Oxys when I'm bored.
Yeah.
Those are the Tic Tacs, right? They sell them in stores as Tic Tacs. Because I chug those like it's nobody's business.
And your breath was so minty afterwards.
I know. Have you ever done a full pack of the white ones?
No.
Oh my God.
Sounds dirty.
It is intense. It is intense. Because Lord knows almost everyone has taken an entire box of the orange Tic Tacs at once. As a kid, at least once, you had to be like, yeah, we're doing this, and you just chug the whole thing.
Nope.
You're all liars.
Not that one. No.
PlayStation Plus Premium is getting Wild Arms 4 for the PS2.
Ooh.
That's nice.
Very cool there. It is being reported that Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced will launch July 9th.
No
word from Ubisoft, but the website that posted this is posting with absolute fact that it is. That they have been given the okay to reveal it.
So. Nice. Go enjoy yourselves some winches.
Indeed. Crimson Desert up to 5 million copies.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Like every they've done week some really good mill. Updates, but... They've been doing they've been paying attention to what people want, and they've been like fixing everything.
So, yeah, they...
For them.
They keep finding things that weren't supposed to be happening in the game, and instead of just patching that shit out, because players have been using this stuff and enjoy it, they've just been turning the shit into features and improving on it, and that is so fucking awesome. I love when devs do shit like that.
Indeed. Split Fiction devs Hazelight have sold over 50 million units of their games across all platforms.
Nice. Those guys are pretty good.
You're a Hazelight fan. It sounds like they are doing good.
Yeah.
Now let's get to the shit news. You ready for... Oh, wait, no, I have one more good thing. Gothic Classic Trilogy has gotten release dates. Yay!
Yay! Nice.
Gothic 1 Classic will release July 28th. Gothic 2 will release September 29th. And Gothic 3 November 24th. Each title will run $29.99. I would imagine they'll release a 3-pack after the third one is out. If you pre-order Gothic 1 Remake, you get the first Gothic remaster free. Now.
Nice.
That's right. Pre-orders for the game get the remake months ahead of time. From April to July.
That's awesome.
A hell of a head start. So, yeah, I pre-ordered.
I didn't even know there were 3 Gothic games, actually. I thought there was only 2.
No, there was a 4th one. Arcania Gothic 4 was on 360.
Oh, shit.
Although that was different developers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't like it as much. But I still wish it were backward compatible. Oh, well. Oh, PS4 got a re-release. Xbox One never did. That was a bummer. Now the crap news. Limited Run announced that He-Man and Masters of the Universe Dragon Pearl of Destruction has been bumped from April 28th to, quote, this summer.
Yep.
That kind of sucks. But at least it shouldn't be getting bumped too far. I mean, it's only a few months, so that's...
Still a bummer when you're 2 weeks away from release.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Midgar and Tomb Raider DLCs are getting delisted for Power Wash Sim. There are no achievements tied to them, but they will be gone May 19th.
Yep.
I've already gotten them on Xbox, thanks to that. And I'm hoping that soon the first game will be on sale on Steam, and I'll get them there too.
Star Trek Resurgence also getting delisted. It is already gone on Xbox and will be gone very soon on PlayStation.
No, it's gone. I think
and
it's
PC,
gone everywhere
if not already. So yeah.
Yeah.
So damn. Star Trek Resurgence got delisted.
Yeah.
Which stinks because it was actually a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Gotta love and the no warning.
Yeah. Well, they gave warning, but for the other platforms, it was already delisted on Xbox.
No.
And the physical, like, there is a physical copy if you do want to play it. However, it apparently already was going for a pricey sum, so now it's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
Damn. Jeez. Anyway, final bit of news I have is even more delistings, as Disney has delisted 15 Steam games with no warning. Titles gone: Bolt, Chicken Little, Alice in Wonderland, G-Force, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, Pixar Brave, the video game, Disney Princess, My Fairy Tale Adventure, Tangled, Disney Universe, Treasure Planet, Battle of the Procyon, High School Musical 3, Outlaws, A Handful of Missions, the classic version from 97, Planet of the Apes, Last Frontier, Star Wars Dark Forces, classic version from 95, and Star Wars Rebellion. That joins 14 games they got rid of in January.
A shame, because some of those are good games.
Yeah.
They are, but there is speculation behind it, because Disney's supposedly looking into buying Epic Games, and they would just move the storefront, like, all of their games over to that storefront.
Oh.
Do you think that's going to happen? Because that's been a buzz, like, but I don't know if I could see that actually happening.
Here's my thought. Honestly, I'd give it like a solid maybe, because of how much Star Wars stuff that they've done with Fortnite and how they did all the stuff with James Earl Jones's voice, you know, before he passed and stuff. My concern, to be like perfectly frank, is that Disney doesn't know what it wants with its own video game companies when they own them. And they just, like, it's just a constant cycle of, like, oh, well, that underperformed, you're gone. All right, well, that underperformed, you're gone. Like, it's just, like, nobody ever gets a chance, like, from their own companies, I should say. It feels like nobody ever gets a chance to, like, you know, reassess and figure out what's wrong. It's just like, all right, well, you're unprofitable, so goodbye. Now, Epic may be too big for that to happen, but
I think if that's what they're doing, it's a fucking stupid idea.
Well, the only thing I'd be okay with it is that if it was like how Disney kind of like treats like ILM, where they're just like, all right,
do your own thing. We own
you, but you're doing your own thing. and occasionally we'll tell you, hey, you need to take care of this for us.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I know Epic is very happy with their Disney partnerships in Fortnite.
Yeah. And I thought like other characters were supposed to be coming too.
I don't know. Anyway, that is my news. Aki, what do you have going on news wise?
Well, I got some sad news. The American voice actor for Star Fox 64's Wolf O'Donnell has died. His name was Jock Blaney. I think he just died from old age, just natural causes. So, shame. And then to counterbalance that, I got some kick-ass news. There is going to be a new Metro coming this winter, Metro 2039.
Yay! It
may not be focusing on RTM anymore, which is going to feel fucking weird if that's the case. Instead, it's focusing on someone called The Stranger. I'm guessing in the end the stranger's going to be RTM, because it just not focusing on him would be wrong. But it seems like they're going to be bringing back the shitty apes from one of the DLCs that suck ass. And they're bringing back the aliens again, which I don't think we've really seen the aliens since the end of the first game, I think it was. So that should be interesting. It seems like it's going to be focusing on the Nazi bad guys from the prior games. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be cool. I am nifty. Super excited for this. I fucking love Metro. And
yeah, I know Xbox had a big showcase event for it. I completely missed it because I went to the weed store today, and that took precedence over everything else in life.
Yeah, I missed it, and then I turned around and I went and watched it because it was Metro, and I fucking love Metro.
Yeah, so. they had great sales because they're closed Monday.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's their holiday, so they're closed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't have a problem with it. Big Adam's like, what? My store has the biggest sales on 420.
Yeah.
No, mine's closed.
Interesting. Yeah.
Bree, what news do you have?
Let's see. Outbound, the co-op adventure in a VW camper van, was supposed to launch on April 23rd, has been delayed to fix a large issue that they found late in development. So we'll be getting that a little later than expected, which sucks. Looks cool. Coffee Talk Tokyo has a solid release date of May 21st.
Nice.
It'll be coming to consoles and PC. There is a demo available on PC now. Pretty excited you get to talk to humans and yokai in this one. So, been waiting for that a while.
Sexy yokai ladies. I approve.
Yes. Let's see. Amazon Luna. Nobody cares about, but they're making some big changes as of April 10th, which is already 7 days ago. They shut down game stores, individual game purchases, and third-party subscriptions. Previously purchased games will be playable through June 10th of this year, at which time they'll be removed. The Bring Your Own Library will also no longer be supported after June 10th. Subscriptions like Ubisoft Plus and Jackbox games are discontinued and will end at the end of your bill cycle. All third-party game stores are gone, basically. Wow. Some games may be available through third-party platform accounts. And if this all sounds confusing, it's because it is. Basically, the so-called a la carte purchases are mostly what this is affecting. Luna is still technically alive and kicking, and they're offering free Luna Premium account upgrades for people affected by these changes. So if you use Amazon Luna, you can look into that premium upgrade and see if you qualify.
A big if.
Yeah. Let's see. Last week, we talked about Graveyard Keeper 2, and they did a free giveaway. It made the publisher at least $250,000 on DLC sales just on PC. And the wishlist count for the sequel went up a lot from this promotion. I feel like that's a good success story for a game that's been around since 2018.
I would imagine they made a chunk on PlayStation as well, because PlayStation had a sale for the game the same time for $5 for the premium version with all the DLC.
Nice. Yeah. And that was, I think they hadn't done the counts for consoles yet as to what they made. So yeah, they made a good chunk.
So.
Oh, yeah. And my last bit of news is Movie Watch.
Oh, shit. No one warns me of this. I'm getting there.
It's Movie Watch.
Thank you. There. Guessing that was Sony. Aki.
Yeah. Sony is teaming up with streamer Jacksepticeye as a producer to make an R-rated animated Bloodborne movie.
Well, a lot of people are really curious about...
He loves the developer of the game, and he's really into everything that they do. He's got 700 hours into Bloodborne, and he swears he's going to make sure that it goes well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully it does. I know there's high expectations for something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, that's all I got.
All right, Jacob, before we get to you, we have a very, very important decision that we as a group have to make. What
oh my
is
God,
my
you're
going to
kill me and fire me?
Oh, it's my next drink. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, piss.
I could either open another Mountain Dew Supernova or piss. No, I'm not. Piss is not an option. Cum is not an option. Actually, I was looking for Mountain Dew, the dirty Mountain Dew with the cream in it. Not cum, but
it's
close.
I'll give you cream in it.
I couldn't find it, but while
hold on. What do you mean it's not cum, but close? How would you know?
Because he's
everyone
had many
knows
a
what
salty
vanilla cream tastes like. Duh.
Go on.
I don't know what family member I'd be allowed to pick on without you getting upset. So I don't know how to.
Oh, my brother.
Oh, when he gives me snowballs, that's how I know.
Well, at least he's getting some finally.
Yeah. while I was out looking, I found a case of last year's Cabo Citrus with the stronger tangerine flavor in it. The cans are expired since October, but Lord knows they're still absolutely fine for like another year after expiration.
Yeah.
So do I go Supernova or Cabo Citrus?
I'd go Cabo Citrus. That stuff is going to go flat a lot sooner, so. And I'm sure that shit's going to be disgusting when it's flat.
There's people who will open like decade-old cans of stuff. And if you if you agitate it properly to stir up what's inside, it tastes normal.
Huh, interesting.
Like it tastes a little old. Obviously, because it's fucking old. But if it's stirred up properly, you can't tell sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So, Jacob, what news do you have?
Going back to the Xbox, how we have like a new head of Xbox. Apparently, she thinks Game Pass is too expensive and it needs to evolve.
Here's
what's up?
Cheers to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Game Pass is central to gaming value on Xbox. It's also clear that the current model isn't the final one. Short-term, Game Pass has become too expensive for players, so we need better value equation. Long-term, we will evolve Game Pass into a more flexible system, which will take time to test and learn around.
I know there have been rumors based on like data miners finding timed cloud usage. It's like possible limits on cloud gaming usage as part of a subscription tier. Like you get 50 hours or something like that.
That's fucking stupid.
Well, if people don't use a lot of cloud gaming, like I don't cloud game, so I'm not really using that part of the what I'm paying for. Like the main reason I pay for Ultimate is for the day one launches. Like Hades and Replaced. I don't have to buy those this week because they're on Game Pass. That's 50 bucks I don't have to spend. That's why I have Game Pass Ultimate. Not for the cloud gaming. It's come in handy a couple of times, but it's not a must-have for me. I absolutely do not have it for Fortnite Crew. They could fuck themselves with that for all I think. And if they offer a tier to still get day one games without Fortnite Crew, you're goddamn right I'll go for it.
Yeah, or even like don't get rid of the day one for Call of Duty as well. Like
that's been something that they're rumored considering. But then that opens a can of worms. If that game gets exempt, what else gets exempt?
See, I'm just worried about them creating more and more fucking tiers, piecemealing this shit, and it just becoming too fucking complicated.
The smart thing would be to make it completely a la carte. Pick the services you want. Do you want Ubisoft Classics? Okay. Do you want EA Play? Okay. Do you want the complete game library? Okay. Do you not want cloud gaming? All right. No Fortnite Crew? Okay. Your total is $23.49 a month. Okay, better than 30.
Yeah, I just feel like it's going to end up you know, when you, if you piecemeal it like that, it's going to end up more expensive with less stuff for most people. And that's,
but that's why you offer bundles.
I don't think they will.
I mean, they would just be like the normal current tiers. That's what their bundles would be. The selectable options that preload at a discount what you get, or they might, it might have a dynamic discount based on what options you pick. You never know. This is all speculation. None of us have a clue what's going to happen. But I would like to see something like that because I don't want Fortnite, but I want my day one games.
Fair.
What else you got, Jacob?
So the FAA needs air traffic controllers. And you know who they're going after now? Gamers.
Yay.
They're actively pursuing it because the government has already noted a high correlation between Air Traffic Academy graduates and video game players. There was a 2024 internal poll conducted by the FAA, which reportedly claimed that only two out of the 250 graduates of that year weren't gamers.
Yeah, well, good luck to them, considering they keep not fucking paying their goddamn workers through government shutdowns. They're totally going to get a whole bunch of people that are like, oh, yeah, I want to do this job for no money.
They're saying it's going to be a six-figure salary.
When they get
paid. But will they actually get it, or will they be fucking furloughed? Because the government can't
get
a budget.
Thanks to Ronald Reagan, I don't think that air traffic controllers can get furloughed like that. No, they can get furloughed, but they can't go on strike.
Have to work for free.
Yeah, because when I came home from my grandparents' house this time, none of the workers had been getting paid for like 2 months.
Well, yeah, that's TSA and
air traffic people too. It was all of them.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. Like
it's a shit show everywhere. And if you ask someone, hey, do you want to work for the current government? I don't.
The answer is hell no.
I don't care what position it is. You could ask me to be a fucking stop sign flagger at one of the construction sites that on a back road that nobody goes on. And I will say no, because I don't trust working under this government.
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to do very well with this trying to get gamers in, because, you know, when they're getting paid, they get paid really well, because that is a high stress fucking job and they deserve the real good pay they get. But right now, there has been so many government shutdowns that has negatively affected everyone working with airplanes. That I don't see anyone being like, oh yeah, let's go do this so we can not get paid for like 3 months worth of work. Like, that's not going to work right now. Maybe in a couple years they might see some, you know, stuff from that. But right now I think that's dead on arrival, I think. But good luck to them.
What else?
A rare early version of the NES classic Punch-Out has been unearthed. A very old prototype of it, which is before the whole Mike Tyson thing. Pretty like the biggest changes with it between the prototype and the final release of the game. The opening credits roll makes mention of two fighters named Rocky Head and Mongol Khan, who aren't present in any other game in the franchise. Soda Popinski is listed by the Super Punch-Out name, Vodka Drunkinski.
Nice.
There's also a few debug options in a prototype, and like players could take control of unfinished opponents and cycle through their move sets.
That's cool as hell.
But pretty much it's just like most of the opponents are still unfinished, so it's apparently a lot of odd visual bugs. But in case you were fearing that... you know, this is a prototype that's just going to get hidden away and never receive the light of day ever again. The guy who paid $45,000 for it uploaded the contents online.
Sweet.
Yeah, I've seen them. That thing's fucking weird. Because, like,
I wonder if some modders will go in and, like, fix it up.
Oh, that would be so fucking cool. Because they'd have to. Because there's entire sections that aren't, like, any gameplay or anything. It's just, like, sprites just standing there, you know, doing their idle shit and stuff like that. Where it's just, like, oh, here's just stuff that would be in the game. Because that's what this thing was for, was to show everybody, here's the stuff that would be in the game. So there's just like a lot of assets that are just there so that you can put it in and show people stuff. It's really interesting. I've never seen anything like this. It's so cool to look at.
Very cool.
Next bit of news. Two things that are unexpected to actually come up on the SML podcast. Clash of Clans and feet picks.
Oh God,
dude! How many times have you mentioned feet picks with Stevie and Outright?
Steve, all the time. Yeah, but that's over at Outright. Why they love us, I don't know.
Mystery, but anyway, to everyone.
In-game decorations, which function as ceramic planters, depict different characters' feet. They cost $2 each. However, if you buy six, they throw in one for free. And pretty much, Kotaku had to go digging on it because, you know, they want to know why. Because it seems like even the Clash of Clans community doesn't know why this is being done.
Because someone has a fetish.
There's no, apparently, like, there's no, like, big foot fetish community in the Clash of Clans community, but some people think that they're trying to do gooner bait, like Marvel Rivals with the swimsuits. So,
yeah. I don't think that's going to help them as much as, you know, sexy ladies in bikinis are.
Been around forever, though. So, I mean,
fair.
Is it cool that I saw somebody use a picture I made about, like, a gooner? In wrestling, there's a wrestler named Gunther, and he was sitting front row at an event, and he has a stupid grin on his face, like he's watching something crazy, and changed the nameplate to Gooner.
Nah.
So it looks like he's just gooning right there. And someone was like, someone needs to put Jordan Grace's face on this. So I took Jordan Grace, another wrestler, put her face on it and changed it to Goon Her.
My God.
And I've seen someone use the picture.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So maybe I made a viral picture. That'd be funny if I see it show up a few more times.
Pretty nice.
A theme song for 007 First Light, surprise dropped. Lana Del Rey is doing the song for it. I don't remember if it actually has a name. It might just be First Light.
Nice.
But yeah, and turns out David Arnold, who is a famous film composer, is back. He worked with Lana Del Rey on the track, but also is doing the music for the game as well.
Very cool.
And David Arnold did the music for Tomorrow Never Dies. I know that one, but I'm not sure if he did the one, like, The World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day. But so anyways, that's kind of cool.
Indeed.
And then, hold on, where's the button? Where's the button? Oh my God, soundboard.
It's Movie Watch.
Ow!
There.
Dang it. I can't even find it on here. The heck
on the right hand side,
it's right there. Up. Yeah, yep, I see it.
Go ahead, push it. Damn it. I dare you,
dumbass.
It's Movie Watch. There,
that was horrible. Can we see that again? Yeah, I guess
it's Movie Watch. There,
we good now.
Yep, go for it.
Yeah.
All right, good. I don't remember if we talked about this last week, but they announced the Metal Gear Solid movie is once again in the works.
Nice.
It's the duo that did the last Final Destination. movie, and Sony is going to be the ones releasing it. So,
yeah.
Okay.
The trailer for Zach Kreger's Resident Evil appeared at CinemaCon, and apparently it's pretty damn scary. Nice. It hasn't been released online yet.
I want to see it so bad.
I know, I do too. But yeah, so there's that, and then also the trailer or the first real trailer for the Street Fighter movie that's coming out in October came out, and it is perfect in every single way.
Perfect.
Like I thank you. Like it's just, it's glorious. I can't, like, my kids and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, every trailer of that I've seen actually looks good.
Yeah. And
that shocks me because the first movie was overwhelmingly dog shit, in my opinion.
Oh, whoa, whoa. You're talking about the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, right? Are you selling the name of Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I don't like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He doesn't like you either.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, but Raul Julia as
that was the only saving grace of that entire goddamn film. Kylie Minogue. Was perfect.
Yeah, Kylie Minogue, who was banging Jean-Claude Van Damme at the time.
Yeah, you cannot say Raul Julia was the only good part of that movie.
I just did.
Kylie Minogue.
I mean, I'm wrong.
I'm not going to lie.
Here's the thing. It's at least way better than The Legend of Chun-Li.
I don't even remember that one.
Yeah, nobody does. Came out in 2008.
Hey, was she Chun-Li or Cammy in the movie? I don't know.
Who?
Kylie Minogue.
She was Cammy. Ming-Na Wen was Chun-Li.
That's right.
So.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
I liked it. Not as good, of course, as the legendary Dead or Alive.
Oh, no, no. That is the best video game movie of all time. And possibly the best movie of all time.
Yes, yes, I did. I watched that forever ago. It was
incredible.
Well, it existed.
God damn right it existed.
I watch that movie at least once a year. Like
I think I've seen it twice, and I think that was probably about 20 times too many already.
No way. Oh, man. Oof. No, that movie's tons of fun.
Meh.
Me, Mustin, a bunch of the other one-ups, Dale North, and a few other guys, we watched that in a theater in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the one summer I was down there.
I'm jealous. Like, they had posters.
One showtime, and we went to it.
They had posters up here in Lancaster when that was supposed to come out, and I was so damn excited because I remember seeing the posters over at Penn Cinema, and it just never came. And I was like, what the crap? And they're like, oh, yeah, sometimes it happens.
Dreamy in chat, here's my super spicy take. The OG Mario Brothers movie is sick as fuck.
It is. I don't care what anyone has to say. That movie's fantastic. It is dumb as fuck. It is fantastic trash.
It is trash, and it is enjoyable, fantastic trash. Yes, not good. Is.
It's right up there with the Double Dragons movie, man. So great.
I'll be honest, I never saw Double Dragon. I thought it looked way too bad to even waste my time on. Even with Alyssa Milano.
It is great. It is fucking god-awful. It is great. Those two are like my childhood. I fucking loved those movies.
Maybe they are both bad. I'll see if I could find it. What am I doing to myself?
I used to have
all right, any other news, or should we get ready to dive into our pack of reviews for the night?
I don't have any other news.
Fever time.
I mean, Aki, are we free? Like, are you still?
Yeah, I'm ready for reviews.
Like, did the order get changed or no?
Yeah, Clover Pit's going first.
That.
Huh? I thought it was going second.
No. It's going first.
Oh.
Replaced Spica Adventure.
Replaced is going first.
Nah, I figured I would put Clover Pit first so that I can have a break between three of yours.
Yeah, that's fair.
Plus, DLC is like doing an update, so we could treat this like an update.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
First,
I have to
talk about
it as an update.
God damn it. First game to talk about tonight is an update on Clover Pit with the Unholy Fusion DLC, developed by Panic Arcade, published by Future Friends Games. The DLC released April 9th for Clover Pit for $2.99. Unholy Fusion introduces the surgery machine to Clover Pit. The grotesque new device lets you fuse charms together into a single, more powerful trinket. Combine effects, discover new synergies, and break the machine all over again. Let's go gambling. Jacob, Aki, both of you played this. Jacob, start us off. What is going on in Clover Pit Unholy Fusion?
So are you familiar? Like, do we need to go over what Clover Pit is?
Yeah, we could do a quick rundown on what Clover Pit is, since this is Aki's first time playing it, right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, wow. Aki,
would you like to explain what the game is?
I could.
Sure.
Or Jacob, if you want to, go for it.
You want to do it, Jacob?
Yeah, you flip a coin. I don't care.
Yeah, no, I could do it. It is this. It's essentially a slot game where you are trapped in this like weird jail cell prison, and your only contact is with this guy on the phone on the other end, who tells you that, like, congratulations, you've raised X amount of money. Now you have to raise this amount, otherwise you're gonna die. And you have so many spins that you're allowed. As you're going through this, there are multipliers, just like a regular slot machine. However, in this game, you can buy all of these like little various charms, which can mostly they'll help you. I think there are like a couple that will screw you over if you have it. But the game is all about you getting screwed anyway. And eventually you are going to reach a level that you are likely to reach a level that is so high with how many coins you're supposed to have that the floor will fall out from below you and you're dead. And then you start it all over again. And after each time that you die, the game resets, and so you no longer have any of the power-ups that you had, the charms that you had. However, you can save stuff in desk drawers, which can be used later, and also to hold your gear. But it's a really odd game. I haven't beaten it yet, but it's definitely addictive, much like a slot machine.
How many drawers have you unlocked?
I've only got one.
Because I have gotten, I think I got all four of them.
Yeah, I think there's four in the game.
There are
total, but
I'm trying to remember if like the quote unquote end game was after three or four though, because the game goes so deep. Like, this is one of those games that you think you've seen everything in there, and you realize you barely scratched the surface because there's just layers beneath that you couldn't even imagine.
Yep.
All I know is I don't have any goddamn luck. The amount of times that I've been like, okay, let's roll this seven times and gotten nothing in all seven of them is fucking absurd. I have no fucking luck.
What kind of trinkets are you buying?
The ones that increase the likelihood of the fruits, because I tend to just build around that because they tend to show up more often for me
My strategy is I don't buy anything with uses, because anything that like you have to hit the button to use, I think those are pointless, and if you use it and nothing happens, it's a waste. I look for things that give you bonus spins. Like the choo-choo train, oh my god. Anytime you can get that choo-choo train, get it.
Oh yeah, every time.
The things that increase your luck. What else? Usually
I try
just
not to
find
get anything that's
one
limited.
Fair. I usually get, I focus on one icon and just roll with that through the whole game. and try to focus everything I can on that. Yeah, cherries are usually good for that. Diamonds seem to get a lot of money with that, obviously, because they're diamonds. Jackpots are fun to get. Negative jackpots are awful to get.
I don't think I've ever gotten a negative one. I didn't know six, that was six, a fucking six. Thing. Oh, yeah, those fucking suck so much ass.
Wipes out all your earnings from the round.
Yep. I don't know how many times in this game I've lost within, like, the first two sets of money.
All the time. All the time. Just getting dying.
It really hurts my feelings because my best run was my second run, and I got to, like, 4 million and I couldn't get to 6 million coins, and that is the absolute furthest I've ever gotten.
The phone, right? Because I watched refused to answer the phone despite it ringing constantly. What? And me telling him, hey, you might want to answer that phone, the guy gives you bonuses. Oh, yeah, I was meaning to do that, but, you know, I was
busy.
And
he would
look at trinkets and then just not answer the phone.
The irony is, in my best run, I hadn't answered the phone. And every run since, I have, because once I opened it the first time and I realized what was going on, I was like, oh, this is useful.
So anyway, what is in the DLC for this?
Well, sadly for the DLC, from what I understand, you actually have to unlock all four drawers to actually start using the surgery machine, which allows you to combine two of the items that you've bought together and get benefits from both, I think, is how it's set up. I haven't been able to get the second drawer unlocked. You have to have all four unlocked, so I've played this a lot, though, and I'm bad at it, apparently.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that, like, they don't just automatically, like, introduce a surgery machine. It's really there to, you know, for those who have already, like, gone through the game as much as they could. It's,
which, I mean, makes sense. It feels like it's
more of a bonus for them than, you know, somebody who's just starting out.
Yeah, it's going to take a while before I unlock that thing, which is kind of weird because once you have the DLC, that machine's in there, but it doesn't tell you anything about it until after you've gotten all four drawers opened. So I've been trying to figure out what the hell it was since I first started the game. I was like, oh, what's this? Why won't it work? I didn't actually realize that was even what the DLC was.
Yeah, I mean,
but part of the game is... Oh, I can use the surgery machine. Shit.
Part of the... crap. Aki, what did you just say?
DLC?
No, before that.
Game?
But I had a thought. Oh, no, exploration. Like, within... Shut up. Like, there's, like, a lot of exploration, which is really weird when you consider that, like, you're in, like, an 8x8 cell in that game. Because there's, like, a lot of, like, I mean, there's the drawers, like, that you can click on. Like, there's reading material. There's a toilet you can flush. And, like, there's just a lot of weird detail in this. And, like, lots of stuff that you think should, like, you should be able to mess with that you can't. But it's just, I don't know, it's very meticulous. Like, as Joe said, like, this is one of those games where it's, like, the lore and, like, how far this game goes is deep, 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 deep. Much like how Joe likes it in the butt.
Yeah, the only thing that I found to be even a slight drawback is I would like it to automatically pull the lever for me. 'Cause when you select to play the game... You can, depending on how much money you have, you can either have it run up to 7 times in one round, or like 3, it can be less if you don't have enough money. But I would like it to, when I choose that, I'd like it just to start pulling the thing and just running them for me instead of me having to push the button each and every time to start start the polling system over and over, just because that ends up being a whole bunch of button pushes for me to stand there and be like,
they do it that way because of the items that you can use the button to activate.
I guess that's fair. I eat so much shit at that I'm just like, I'd really like it just to automatically do this for me.
You know, I'd also
Use the trigger, right?
You don't?
No, you can use the A button.
Oh, well, okay. Well, yeah, that's what I was doing.
I would like to say, going back to, like, you know, all like the random stuff for you to look at, I really do appreciate the fact that the surgery machine has like a fountain of blood.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
All right, well, let's talk about what is in this update. The surgery machine lets you fuse powerful charms out of two different ones into a single powerful one. There are 30 fusion charms that will entirely change your build. There's 10 completely new charms. There's 4 symbol modifiers to, you know, make the rules even more fucky-wucky. 7 more memory cards, and then another secret finale. Spoilers.
Damn, that's a lot.
It's a secret. End spoiler.
Oh my god, no way.
And the craziest part of this, it's $3.
Damn, nice.
Yeah,
that the is the DLC like, is $3. That's it.
How much the game, like, total does it cost now?
The game, I believe, is 10. Let me double check.
Because I was going to say, I thought it was like $12 now. Because it includes the DLC.
Yeah, the Unholy Edition is $11.49. The game itself is $9.99 on sale with Game Pass for $7.99.
Okay.
So you're not forced into buying the bundle.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's actually cheaper to, right now, buy them separately if you have a Game Pass.
Fair.
Yeah, so $3, your verdicts.
Yeah, totally. Like, if you enjoyed the first, like, the original game, this DLC is just, you know, more shit to do. Definitely pick it up.
You just got to play into it to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think it's worth the money. If you liked the base game, this is definitely worth the money. They've added a whole bunch of shit to this. I think it's totally worth the money.
And for $10, what are your thoughts on the base game?
Yeah,
I think it's worth it. It's been pretty fun to play. It is. I'm bad at it, but it is really fun, actually.
I've been telling people that, like, if you couldn't get into Balatro, try this one. Because it has a lot of the mechanics of Balatro and a lot of the feel of Balatro, but it's not poker-based, so if you don't know the rules of poker... You know, everyone knows what slot machines are. You line up icons. So
yeah, and if you're like, what all different combos get me everything? There are posters right next to the machine that tells you how it all works. Even it's real nice. Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed the base game. It's been surprisingly fun.
Very good. All right, next up, we're going to talk about Reap. You good?
Yep.
Next game is Replace, developed by Sad Cat Studios, published by Thunderful Publishing, released April 14th on Xbox Series and PC, as well as other PC storefronts for $19.99. Uncover the sinister secrets of the Phoenix Corporation through the eyes of its own creation, Reach, an AI trapped in a human body against its will. In an alternate 1980s America reshaped by nuclear catastrophe, Phoenix City has become one of the corporation's strongholds, a haven for corruption where outlaws thrive and human life is traded like currency. Step into the role of Reach, expose the corporation's hidden agenda, and uncover the purpose behind your creation. Aki, there has been a lot of hype and buzz around Replaced. What is this game?
Okay, so this is a 2.5D side-scrolling adventure that has puzzles and combat that's very reminiscent of, like, the Batman Arkham series, which is very nice. So in this, you're playing as Reach, which is an AI program that looks over this giant metropolis city. Inside the body of a man named Will, one of the co-creators of the system originally. And they're basically part of this government group that has decided to uplift themselves by going back to the Christian roots and using science to make everyone's lives better. And it is corrupt as fuck, as one might suspect.
Real life.
Yeah, basically. But in this, basically, there was a war, nukes were dropped, a lot of America died off because of it, and these people brought themselves up from the ashes and created these mega cities to basically protect the inhabitants and rule with an iron fist. And yeah, so one day Will has connected his brain up to this machine, and Reach is like, yeah, you've been working for too long, you're unstable, and you need to fuck off, and I will see you later. And he's like, fuck you, no. And some explosions happen for who knows what fucking reason, and you find yourself in Will's body. He doesn't seem to be in there anymore, but you want to get back to being Reach because you're not a fleshy human thing. It's unhelpful. And yeah, you immediately start trying to find help, only to find that the cops are killing people. Just everybody that's in the building, instead of helping them. And Reach is very confused, because Reach just knows what's in their programming. And what's in their programming is the knowledge that people are being helped everywhere. The reality is that people in the city are being used as black market organ farms, and people outside the cities have basically been turned into slave labor, which is the exact opposite of what Reach has been telling people to do. So, yeah! You end up getting kicked out of the city by trying to escape the police, more or less, and now you're trying to find your way back in, because again, you're the city's computer. That's where you're supposed to fucking be. And this all ends up being Reach more or less gaining humanity and seeing the world around them is not what it's supposed to be, and how they're going about fixing it, and how they go about helping the people outside the walls that have been of great aid and who clearly need fucking help. So yeah, you end up fighting a whole bunch of like bad, malicious, cannibalistic, evil, you know, outsider groups, as well as the police force of the city, kicking the shit out of all these assholes. Woohoo! And in it, you're basically set into fights with groups of people. Not everyone will be fighting at the same time. Some of them stay in the background for a while, and as you beat enemies, some of them will jump in to replace the ones who were beaten until you've beaten all of them up. You get enemies with shields, you have to break the shields. You get enemies in armors, you break the armors in the same way. When they go to attack you, sometimes they'll have red attacks and you have to dodge out of those because they can't be blocked or anything. And sometimes when they attack you, yellow lines will be above them. And when that happens, you get to counter them and beat the shit out of them. And it's woohoo! First off, you start off with basically a baton that you're beating the shit out of people with. It's a cop's weapon. And later on, you get the ability to change it into its gun mode and actually use it. However, in order to use it, you have to hit people or counter attacks and to raise up its meter so it can be fired. And if you wait too long, the meter starts to drain. And you can only fire it once before it's completely drained and you have to do it again. But as you get further into the game, you get upgrades that allow it to charge faster and stay charged longer, so on and so forth.
And yeah, it is really fucking fun. There are side quests you can find in the hub area where you get to interact with people, and some of them are like, I need this item. Can you find it for me? And then you go searching around for it. There's even an arcade that you slowly build up in the game, and you can actually go play the arcade games and work on getting the highest score on each one. Because you get rewards for doing that, and there's an achievement for doing it, and it is fucking difficult. Have fun with that. And yeah, it has been a really good time. I think I'm in chapter 4, I believe, out of a lot. There's a lot of chapters in this. I think I'm probably maybe a third-ish of the way through the game. These levels are fairly sizable. And it does have little autosaves pretty regularly. So if you die, you tend to be set like right before that fight. You may have to watch a cutscene again if there was one, because you're not lucky enough to be able to skip that easily. But yeah, the fights are really fun. They're chaotic. You get people with guns that are shooting at you, people attacking you at the same time, because you can have like 4 to 6 different people up fighting you at the same time.
So gorgeous.
Yeah. There is an achievement for beating it on the hardest difficulty, so guess what I've been playing?
Well, chop chop.
Yeah, it's fun. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with this game. It has been so amazing. I'm really glad they finally got it out. So yeah.
All right. Well, it clocks in at $19.99, available on Xbox and PC right now. It is also a part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. If you have that, it just came out on Tuesday, along with Hades 2. How's that for one day of Game Pass?
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. $20 on Replace. Give us your verdict.
I am 100% for this. This game has been fucking awesome, and I can't wait to finish it.
Very good. All right, that is it for you. I know you are tired and sick, so we will let you go.
Yep, good night. I will talk to y'all later.
How's it going to feel being the first one to leave chat?
It feels wrong and disgusting, and I hate my life for this, but I can't see straight anymore, so it has to happen regardless. Yeah.
Would you say it's a unique feeling?
No. No, this happens actually a lot. I really should sleep more often. But
yeah, you should. Yeah, it's healthy.
Yeah, but there was a fun game I got. So.
Yeah.
And I blame you. All right, talk to you
later. Final words?
Go fuck yourself, Jacob.
Yay!
Please.
Peace. All right, next up, Speaka Adventure, developed by Taito, published by Innin Games, released April 14th, Xbox One, Series, Switch, PS4, PS5, $19.99, available in the Parasol Superstars bundle, double-packed with Parasol Stars, Legend of Bubble Bobble 3 for $24.99. Join Nico, a little girl clad in all pink, armed with an extraordinary umbrella, on a dangerous yet colorful journey through space. And if you buy the double pack, Bubble Bobble 3 lets you use parasols as a shield against enemy projectiles, so you could stun and pick up and throw foes as projectiles themselves. Jacob, first up, tell us about Speaka Adventure.
So Speaka Adventure very much has a early 2000s, I'd say like a DDR aesthetic with its animation and character design. And you play as this girl with this, I don't want to call it a magical umbrella, but that's like her weapon. But she also uses it as a tool to move around and stuff. And it's really cool, because as like a weapon, like, you know, you could do the, like, kind of like a melee attack. You can also do this thing where like it turns into a short range missile, and it just like hits everybody within a certain area around you. sorry, in one direction, I should say that. You could also use it for upward attacks and for blocking enemy attacks. Or if you're using it as a tool, when you jump up, like on air currents, you can use it to like carry you around and glide you from point A to point B. And the thing that I thought was really cool, and I discovered it by accident. Like, I mean, like I kind of figured it had something to do, but I couldn't figure out what. But so like, let's say you're falling, you could actually stick the umbrella in the wall and then fling yourself up. So like if you fell in a part where you weren't supposed to, you could potentially, you know, get right back where you were. And it is such a fun feature. Like I loved it. But yeah, you're moving through all these levels, and it starts off on an easy, on like an easy mode, level, just so you get like the basic hang of it. But then you can actually decide what path you're going to take, and it's going to decide the difficulty of the levels. So you start off on easy, then you move up to normal and then hard, and stuff like that. And it has branching paths. So, you know, it's definitely got replayability. I believe the easy campaign really only took like maybe like 30, 40 minutes to get through. And it's just like, there's a lot of replayability. My kids were impressed with this. Like they were like, oh, can we try? And I'm like, no, I have to review this. but I know tomorrow morning, like they're going to be playing the hell out of it. Yeah, I really like it. This like, it's a lot of fun. And for somebody who usually sticks to like easy mode on stuff, I'm really looking forward to seeing like just how difficult like the normal and harder levels are, you know, to see if maybe I won't suck at this game.
But you will.
Probably, yeah. But yeah. My kids think I'm great at it. So that's all nice. That matters.
What about Parasol Stars, Legend of Bubble Bobble 3? Did you get much time in on that one?
So yeah, I did. And that
this is an different. Older release that's just basically getting bundled with the new one for a good deal, a really good deal, actually.
Yeah, like when you were talking about like how much it costs, I was like, oh damn! Like for $25, that's totally worth it. But this version of Bubble Bobble 3, I'm not familiar with the Bubble Bobble series at all. Like I don't know the plot. Like I mean I've played it with friends and stuff like that, like over at like their house or dorm room and stuff like that, that kind of stuff, but like I've never like really been into it. So this was really like my first go round with the series where I really had to like get in depth with it. And you have this umbrella that you can use, like you could use it to toss enemies, you can use it to gather up fruits. Obviously, you know, you could use it to kind of like glide, but not real. I couldn't really get the gliding to work that well. But thankfully, the game has all sorts of accessibility features. So, you know, those of us who maybe aren't so good at the game can use infinite lives, infinite health. You can multi-jump if you need to, all that kind of stuff to make the game a heck of a lot easier.
Which, the funny thing is, you mentioned you don't know much about the Bubble Bobble franchise. This game is so much different from Bubble Bobble because in the original game, you're a dragon. And you spit bubbles, and then you jump on the bubbles to kill the monsters. And in this, you're a human with an umbrella that you whack shit with.
Yeah, but like I had read somewhere that it's like this is like their human form or something like that.
Yeah, they're just like, gameplay-wise so drastically different.
Yeah. I mean, I probably the last time that I played Bubble Bobble was in college. Yeah. Like the first time around.
The important part of this release is Speak Adventure, and that clocks in at $20. What do you think of it?
Absolutely.
Anything else to that?
Oh, no. Like, it's just like, it's a ton of fun, and like, I really enjoyed it, and I know my kids are going to be messing around with it tomorrow morning.
Very good.
But like, I, I did have something I did want to add about the bubble bobble thing. One of the things I was a little disappointed by with it is that there wasn't like any notes, like, or like, I don't want to necessarily say like trivia, but like there was no real information to view. Like, you know how like with a lot of the arcade archives, like you'll at least like, here's the box art, here's like the arcade promo art, yeah, all that kind of stuff. There's nothing for this. I was a little disappointed by that, but like this thing is like $5, like $5 extra if you get
the double pack. Yeah, and it's actually not $24.99; it's $23.99.
Even better.
That's even better.
That's wild. That's wild.
Normally it's like $13 on its own, but if you pay an extra $3, $4, it is yours in the bundle.
Yeah. So
any final thoughts on the bundle?
You get two awesome games like for such a good price. Like there's a lot of replayability in this, and I think you should definitely check it out.
Rock on. Next up, Inhuman Resources, a literary machination developed by Finnegan Motors, published by Dolores Entertainment, released April 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PS5 for $14.99. Take part in an expansive choose-your-own-adventure horror story where you'll uncover the secrets of an anachronistic, I hate that word, corporation reigning over a post-truth world, solve cryptic riddles, make difficult choices, and escape the depths of Smirnacor with your mind intact, no matter the cost. Bree, what is going on in Inhuman Resources, a game from Dolores Entertainment, who were nice enough to give us an extra copy to give away. So type !enter if you're in chat, and you can get a shot at winning this by the end of the show.
That's a good thing. This is a kind of visual novel. It doesn't use the same engine or format that you might be used to in the visual novel space, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. Instead of having text boxes at the bottom with art on the top, you have a scrolling text that adds in each scene, like adds on to it. You get some sort of art in the form of stylized avatar thumbnails for characters, like when our aunt calls us on the phone at the start of the story. And the text in the beginning is on a glaring white background with gray text, and that hurt my eyes a little as a dark mode loving individual. But the overall style is like gold art deco look to it that I really liked. And you get other art intermixed with the lines of text, and it creates a different visual style that I started to like a lot once my eyes adjusted. And there's more to the game than just text, though. So you have an inventory of found items, you have a codex of characters, and you need to solve puzzles. It's a narrative heavy game. You get to choose your own adventure kind of vibe to it. And if you've tried a visual novel before but didn't quite get into it, I'd say don't rope this in with the rest, please. This is more of a horror piece with a non-linear storyline where you'll need to do what it takes to survive your new 9-to-5 minimum wage hell, all while dealing with heavy depression. There's a couple of RPG elements, like your choice could give you like a +2 to technological literacy if you answer it a certain way, and that might help you with extra choice points or puzzles down the road. The story starts out with like exposition that comes in from a phone conversation between the main character, Finnegan, Joyce, and their aunt. We like simple things like old style flip phones, and we're depressed and down on our luck, and we're behind in the rent. But thankfully, the landlord is family, and we get a little leeway as well as some help getting a job at the evil Smirnacorp. There we go. Like New Smyrna. But yeah, when you get to the menu, you have either options that'll help you do things like adjust volumes, increase text size, or you can access the pop-up menu for the inventory, the map, the codex, and stuff that I mentioned earlier. The cursor interface you'll need to use to select text choices and advance the text, and sometimes you need to scroll with the right stick to see all your choices. So, like, The controls are pretty simple. You've got, you know, a couple options that are helpful. Like, it really increasing the check size, I think, was pretty generous. You've got, like, lots of options there, which is good because it's, you know, it's a lot of reading. But back to the story. You'll find yourself at the imposing structure of the Smyrna Court building with dark porthole windows and a severed head as a bronze door knocker to gain entry to the front door. And the story is told like as a collection of chapters that'll interconnect into a bigger piece. There is some content warning about the horror elements, depression, sex, nudity, you know, all the things you want.
What?
I know. And the horror isn't really like gore and monsters unless you count the evil corporation and a few text depictions of violence. But the psychological kind is more what this is. About the kinds of choices we have to make to survive in dark and complex situations. There's also some dark humor in this I enjoyed. Like, earning a title or almost an achievement for having clinical depression was, like, blazoned on the screen. I thought that was funny. When the chapter completes, at one point, it says, proceed to, and then it gives you the name of the next chapter, which happened to be The Nervous Breakdown.
Oh, and God.
After how tense a chapter it was like, proceed to The Nervous Breakdown. And I actually laughed out loud. it was perfect. But yeah, if you've ever worked in a corporate office setting or even government offices, you might get the humor and the horror of the scenario. And there's definitely something off about the company you can't quite place at first. It starts off with jokes about your interview questions having real consequences that will affect others, and results in you getting the job and doing some really questionable things, like spying on your coworkers, stealing confidential data, hacking computers, and editing video footage to meet the expectation of your bosses. It's there's a noir style soundtrack, some gibberish bass voice acting that was all well done, as were the audio cues. I don't want to ruin the story. I do want to talk about the absolutely fantastic descriptive writing of this piece. The world that they built for Inhuman Resources oozes style. It made me want to keep reading. And if you're a reasonably fast reader, you're going to get through a playthrough in probably like 5 or 6 hours or whatever. You know, it's not super long as a visual novel, but it's not short either. And there is a reasonable amount of replayability because of the branching choices. I think there are a few endings based on some of the choices. And you might want to take a few notes when you see things come up for puzzles, like there's some symbols and things. But yeah, I can say that this is a bit of a slow burn to get to the meat of the story, but it's worth the read, especially when you get to the interview chapter. Like, it starts to really pick up. Also, like, the typography and the color use in conjunction with some of the audio cues were really well done in some places to emphasize the mood of the written word. And there were times where you had to, like, spam press buttons to get the job done. I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say, but basically the effect of, like, I don't know if anyone here has seen Night Watch. It's like a Russian vampire movie. And when they did the subtitles on the screen, they're shaking if the character's nervous, or they like drip across the screen. And they just did such good stuff with typography in this game. Kind of it gives you an effect to it when you have to spam a button or something. Like, it's part of the feeling of the game. So some of the bad stuff. There is no real instruction. Like, for making choices, you have to hold buttons instead of clicking. The method of control for everything is a kind of finicky cursor with no settings to slow it down. And as a console port, it was a little annoying that there was really no use of controller functions. Like, the menu button just shows on the bottom right of the screen as the three lines, and you think you can press that to get to the menu. But no, you have to move the cursor over to it. And then you'd think that pressing B would cause you to back out, but no, you have to click back on the grayed out screen to get back into the action. So that was a little clunky, but the story was great, so it gets a bit of a pass for me. But yeah, good game.
All right, clocks in at $15. What do you think of it?
If you like good writing, psychological thrillers, I think you're going to love this. It was not as well adapted to controller functions, like I said, but the price is as good as, you know, as you want for this kind of story. I struggle with rating between try it and buy it, but ultimately I'm going to give this a buy it. It has some nitpicky things that I got used to. I think this stood out in the visual novel space as something different from the norm. And if you're into a darker visual novel, I would definitely give this a go. I had a really hard time putting it down, and I look forward to another playthrough to making different choices. So,
very good. Up next is Tamashika, or Tamashika, not too sure. Developed and published by Edgelord, released April 9th, Xbox, Play Anywhere, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, $19.99. Attention is all you need. Tamashika is a fast-paced arcade-style corridor shooter focused on flow, precision, and survival. Move through shifting environments, react quickly, and stay locked in. Each run is about control, timing, and keeping your mind in one place. Patterns in the world create a sense of continuity, but everything is in motion. Focus is what keeps you alive. Jacob, what is Tamashika?
Tamashika, first off, is a game that that Aki should not play.
Yeah, I saw pictures of this. I'm like, should I offer it to her?
No, there is a lot of light flashing and like wild ass visuals in this game.
Do I want to kill Aki?
But yeah, it's a corridor shooter that kind of like unrolls like a map as you're going forward, and you have to go through all these different hallways, and there are going to be these people that attack you. And you are armed with a gun and a knife, and it seems like you have, like, depending on how close the enemy is, you have to, like, it almost seems like you have to use the knife in all those situations. But like, I can't quite nail down some of the combat stuff. And I know that the game is meant for you to, you know, see how far you can get down the hallway, how well can you memorize the patterns, all that kind of stuff. And I spent a lot of time I feel like I spent more time trying to analyze it, and figure out how it worked than just play the damn game. But it's a really interesting and beautiful game. And I'm not going to lie, like when you know the route ahead of time and like you accidentally get popped and you're like, oh shit, okay, I'll do better next time. And you just know where the guy's going to be. And like, you just like roll to the side and like pop, pop. And it's just like, oh, it's so nice. Like you feel like you're a superhero. Not like like action movie star kind of thing. But yeah, the game's really trippy.
What's the progression like in the game?
I mean, you're just going to keep dying over and over and over and again. And the hallway, I mean, as you do better, the hallway gets longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or your path gets longer. I never found any kind of end yet to it, or like the next level kind of stuff. It's just a lot of shooting and dying, or getting stabbed and dying.
I mean, whatever works, right?
I don't know. Like, honestly, I favored the gun in this game. Like, the knife combat felt a little too confusing. And also, like, the knife stuff, that felt more like luck than anything. Meanwhile, the gun, like, I've played plenty of shooters before. I know how to do this, you know? And so as you're just running down the corridor, like, you know where the guy's initially going to fire, and then, you know, pop, pop, and, you know, two in the head, make sure they're dead.
I like the store page. It's like you get one weapon, a semi-automatic pistol, one sidearm, a Tonto blade, one level, procedurally generated layout changes every day. There are no checkpoints, no unlocks, no cutscenes. Total playtime is approximately 10 minutes start to finish with no restarts.
Oh, well, 10 minutes. Okay. All right. Then
if you can make it that far,
I feel like the max I've done is like 5 or 6 minutes. Huh? Yeah.
It's obviously bonkers on this.
It's a tough ass game, but yeah, it's pretty fun to play while you're, baked. Not that I would know. I've heard.
Oh yeah. From allegedly.
From sources. Yeah.
Allegedly. All right. Well, this one clocks in at $19.99. I'm seeing people say that the price is probably the biggest concern with this game.
Honestly, I would have been more okay if this was like a $10 or $15 game. $20 is a little steep. I'm enjoying my time with it, but I don't know that I'd want to pay $20 for it. You know, it's a wait for a sale, but I'm enjoying it a lot.
How big is the file? Just curious, because I know.
I don't know. That's a good.
Are you near your system to look?
No, that's downstairs.
Oh, yeah, you suck, you wiener. Because I know you're one of those guys that treasures your space on your console.
It's 1.5 gig.
Is this something that's going to stick around?
I think it will stick around. I mean, partially because it's only like 1.5 gigs, and so it easily can fly under the radar. No. As long as my kids, you know, finally start growing out of some of the games that they used to play. Oh my God. Like my Xbox.
I need to go through my under 1 gig games on my console so bad, because when I'm making room, I only go after big stuff. I've never done like a purge of tiny crap I will never touch.
Dude, I seriously need to get one of those, internal hard drives for the Xbox.
Expansion card.
Yeah. The expansion card. Yeah. Thank you.
Look on Facebook and get it sooner than later, because prices have gone up.
I know they will. Like, I couldn't swing it right now anyway. It's like, yeah. I'm not worried about it, but it's just like, oh my God, my freaking kids.
All right, let's move on to Puzzling Places 3D Jigsaw Sim, developed and published by Realities.io. Inc. Released April 9th on PC for $7.99. In Puzzling Places, you piece together 3D jigsaw miniatures of locations from around the world. There's no scores, no timers, just simple, relaxing joy of connecting pieces and discovering small details along the way. The game features 18 unique locations from around the world, each rich in detail, accompanied by distinctive soundscapes, with some featuring small story moments and subtle animations. Bree, what is going on in Puzzling Places?
Well, this is a cool 3D style jigsaw puzzle made using 3D scans of real world places or scenes and buildings that were modeled by artists. But instead of standard jigsaw pieces with the little knobs and dips, there's a name for that, and I totally forget what it is. You have like chunks of buildings and landscapes to put together that are cut in interesting different ways. And it's 3D, so you need to rotate the scene around to make like a full tower or the corner of a building. Most of the puzzle locations are not like full, you know, model around the entire thing, but you will see, you know, dimensions in there that you're going to need to change your perspective for. You have two modes you can play. Journey mode, where you build in rounds of 6 matching pieces at a time and attach pieces to a single growing center with auto rotation, or classic mode, which is designed to give you the full jigsaw experience, where you sort and assemble like a regular puzzle, and then you have to move all the things around to find where the pieces go. There's still like a little sparkle that comes up when your piece is rotated to the spot and close, and when you get it in close, like it doesn't have to be 100% perfect, it'll kind of like magnetize, which is nice. And this game does come with a tutorial for both modes, which I thought was really well done. Speaking of modes, this also works in VR mode if you have a headset.
I was going to say, it's a VR and a flat screen game.
Yeah. So while I'm not a VR person, I think this would be really cool in VR, and it works on Steam Deck as well.
I've played VR puzzle games on PlayStation VR. They are so relaxing.
Yeah, I bet. When you choose a level, you can choose your mode and then the difficulty in number of pieces. I think the first level was like a cute little house and you could do 25 pieces on up to 400 pieces. Some of the bigger scenes go up to 1,000 pieces. So you can do that, you know, however you want. Take your time, do a big one, or, you know, make it go faster. And there's no mandatory timers with this. Although it will tell you how long you took to complete a puzzle at that size, if you care, you can just peacefully explore and connect pieces. There's no real stage goals to unlock things either. You can skip around randomly to find a puzzle. You don't have to like wait to unlock them. You can go to the library. You can sort by size or a bunch of other tags like interior or colorful to find your next subject to piece together. And the controls are pretty simple. You use the left click on your mouse to pick up and drag pieces into the scene you're working on. And then with the right mouse click, you can click and hold it, the piece to rotate it. You can also rotate the bigger piece you're working on as a whole instead of rotating each individual piece. And then you can move the scene at large in and out of frame with a left click and hold and drag. You can WASD it. And lastly, you can zoom with the mouse wheel. And then this is a shocker. I didn't even try the controller support, but it does have full controller support as well. I actually just totally did this with mouse and keyboard.
Nice.
Proud of me.
That's optimized for Steam Deck too. So Purnell would love it.
Exactly. Art wise, you're looking at stylized realism, you know, so they scan things, but there is like a little artistic flair to it that because some of the buildings are created, modeled by artists. Once you place things in a scene, you may find animations like a cat wiggling its tail, butterflies moving around. There's one building with like a waving grandma on a balcony. And the colors are vibrant. The details are engaging. Like it's a pretty game. Audio wise, you're listening to combinations of relaxing music and sound effects that you might hear at the scene of the picture. Like you'll hear working noise and clanking glasses and the hum of the air conditioner at the sushi restaurant. And, you know, little details like that that kind of bring it to life a little. And there are additional modifiers in the settings, like making everything black and white. We're disabling automatic rotations in journey mode and hiding reference images that can also make this more of a challenge for you. So, lots of options.
Speaking of modifying things, we should probably bring up the one thing that we have tried to avoid on this show, but it just seems like the further along we get, the harder it's going to be to completely avoid. There is AI use in this game. The two of us discussed it before we picked up this game for coverage. Would you like to explain the situation?
Yeah, so they used, like I said, 3D scans, real world models or real world places, and then modeled their own. But some of the 3D artists use like a little bit of generative AI for cleaning up texture. Just like really small details to unify things across the real world stuff versus the modeled stuff. And they were very keen to point out that they would never use fully AI generated content directly in their game. So I felt like that was a fair use of this, and
especially with how hard it is to get some scanned items to look right, with how many scenes you get.
Yes.
How much weirdness you could get piecing images together. Those kind of scans are incredibly difficult to work with.
There's only 18 puzzles in the game right now. There are large monuments, small buildings, parts of towns. There's a nightclub, a football field, and more.
A partridge in a town.
But again, you can do them with more or less pieces to make it challenging. You can replay it. And it looks like there may be puzzle packs in the future to add to this. So it's not a huge game, and yet it is. So I had a good time with this one.
Well, it's not a huge price. It is $7.99. What are your thoughts?
So yeah, if you like jigsaw puzzles and you're interested in the 3D kind, I think this is a great price, and I wouldn't pass it up. It's got a little extra layer to it with the 3D models and animations. The visuals and audio were above my expectations for what this is, and I'm going to give it a buy it.
Very good. Next game is Arcade Archives 2 Polaris, developed and published by Hamster, released April 8th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Polaris is a shooting game released by Taito in 1980. I wasn't even alive yet. Take command of a submarine and battle advancing enemy forces using missiles that can only be fired directly upward. Navigate through a relentless onslaught from all directions, even though you can only shoot up. Bombers in the sky, frigates patrolling the surface, and mines lurking on the seabed. Jacob, Polaris seems pretty intense for being from 1980.
It is. It is surprisingly intense. And honestly, this is one of my, like, it's now one of my favorite old games. So as the game's description was talking about, you are in this submarine that can only fire up, and there are mines, there are there's like this ship that'll speed across every once in a while and drop bombs. There's also a sub that's patrolling the very bottom of the seafloor and shooting their torpedoes at you. And then on top of it, you've got planes dropping shit all the friggin' time, which you have to shoot out all of the planes out of the sky. And I think shooting the boat once is a condition of it. I'm not entirely sure. Because eventually it all kind of blurs in together. As far as I'm aware, you're never able to shoot that submarine that's on the bottom of it, but some of the planes will go in like an infinity or figure eight kind of thing, and other ones will just move left to right, and you just have to keep shooting your missiles up to the surface, and hopefully you'll knock everybody out. After each level, it's pretty much the same thing over and over again. It just gets quicker, which is common for a lot of these types of shooter game, arcade games. But damn, is it a lot of fun. Forget Space Invaders, forget Defender. This is my jam right now. I'm having a lot of fun with this, and I had never even heard of this before this Arcade Archives release. So I'm super glad that this now gets to see the light of day again, because holy crap, the game's 46 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we are old.
Yeah, we are old. And this game is older. And holy crap, it's great. It's a lot of fun. So how much do they want for it?
And I believe this is the first re-release of the game since the 2600, if what I'm seeing is right. It may have popped up on PS4 somewhere. But from what I could tell, this is the only real re-release it got.
No shit. That is wild.
It was on the Atari 2600, the VIC-20.
VIC-20.
And then on April 9th, it got ported to the ACA series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well,
$10. Thank you, Hamster verdict. Corp.
hell yeah. $10. Absolutely. This is a ton of fun. Lots of replay value.
Very
definitely
good.
Get it.
I can agree with that one. This one is, it's so cool playing things from before we were born, because we've been around for so much of the history of gaming that when there's stuff that we haven't been able to experience, it feels new and fresh. Weird. Despite being 46 years old.
Yeah, frequently it does. I mean, sometimes it's really frustrating because
it makes you feel kind of like a kid again, because this is something brand new.
Technical limitations,
from our
youth. But yeah, it's so cool to see all of these old arcade games come back and see what they were like. And it's just maybe a game that wasn't well received back then, because it gets new life through this program, all of a sudden you have all these people be like, yo, check out Polaris. This game's fucking wild.
That's why I love the Arcade Archives series from Hamster, and I hope they continue releasing everything on Xbox and not just a few things here and there. You know, like those two ACA Neo Geo games that came out that we didn't get. We have every other Neo Geo game except the two new ones they put out.
Hamster, I love you folks, but please, like, please release this stuff so Joe, you know.
They've been putting out some crazy console stuff too, like straight up Japanese only console stuff that we could never
just
they're gonna be hard to get through. But next game, Find My Frogs, developed by My Eye Studio, published by Silesia Games. Released April 14th, Xbox Play Anywhere, 15th on the Switch, PS4, PS5 for $3.99. Find My Frogs is a cozy hidden object game where you search for frogs and toads in peaceful animal village, explore charming spots, uncover secrets, and help Uncle Frogger gather everyone for a family photo. With soothing animation, sounds, music, and playful interactions, such as helping a little frog pick strawberries, like the strawberries in my Mountain Dew Supernova, Find My Frogs offers a sweet moment of serenity. Lovingly brought by a duo of artists. Bree, tell us about Find My Frogs.
This is set in a cute hand-drawn world called Mossglade. It's made by a couple of artists, and the art is darling and beautifully colored. The music is dreamy and delightful. The menu has no words to it, just pictures. You can move between with the left stick. And they were fairly self-explanatory. There's like a bowl of tools and nuts for the options. The frame was the credits. The door led to the glade. And there was a map and a happy frog with an exclamation point over his head who clearly wants to talk to you. And it gives you a kind of pictorial guide on how to play. Once you figure out the basics, you go into the rather large scene of Moss Glade with big mossy tree and little mushrooms all over it, set in a pond with lily pads and flowers and a background of marsh grass and cattails. And this darling little world is filled with frogs and toads and gnomes. You can set the scene in daytime or nighttime, or you can let the time flow so it like switches on its own. And you can find things how you like. There's little animations of bubbling water and steam and puffs of smoke coming from chimneys. Because this glade, it's really filled with little details. There are doors you can open that lead to small internal scenes with their own counts of things to find in them. I mentioned there's cute frogs to find, but I can't begin to describe how cute it is to click on them and get a noise or realize they have cute little frog butts. And I raved about the frog butts. I really did. and when you click on the frogs, they color in, and there's like a little animated drawing where they were facing away from you, maybe, and now they're waving at you, or they were floating in water, and now they're above the surface smiling at you. It's super cute. Besides the frogs, you need to find camera equipment so that you can take the family photo of all the frogs. And there's like openable chests. There's gnomes hiding with just their hats showing or their feet dangling. There's hidden strawberries and bugs and mice and other cool stuff to do and find. There's over 400 things to find in the scene. And I had a blast finding all the cool things in the art. There's also a map you can use as like a fast travel to any of the interior locations that'll tell you how many things you're missing of each type. There are helpful hints you can use with no penalty at the click of a button. It takes a little while for the search to refill, but it's pretty quick if you're stumped. And the hints do work for all the different stuff. It just takes precedent over the frogs first. So, like, if you've found all the frogs, but you're still looking for gnomes, the gnomes are like the next thing in line in precedence. And so it will go to that next. And then after that, if you're still looking for secrets, it'll still work for the secrets. So it's really a no stress game. It's super cute. Yeah.
Do you have any complaints about it?
Not a one.
I'll find none.
Yeah.
clocks in at $4. Give us your thoughts.
You got a colorful scene, great art, great music, relaxing fun game for a really low price. I think this is a no-brainer. Please hop up and buy this for the frog butts.
You just had to jump on that pun, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Good.
For the frog butts.
You gotta do what you gotta do. I totally understand.
Yeah.
Final game to discuss tonight is Decollet Decoration, developed by Kanekodo, published by Kemco, released April 16th, Xbox Play Anywhere, Switch, PS4, PS5, $8.99. One day without warning, you become a ghost. Uh-oh. You lived an honest life and committed no wrong, so your soul should surely find peace, right? But the thought of being separated from the one you love is more terrifying than the abyss itself. If you can no longer stay by his side, then you must bring him with you before your soul passes on. Torn between love and obsession, you struggle against fate in this dark, emotional pixel art visual novel about devotion, loss, and the desperate choices made in the afterlife. Jacob, what is Decollet Decoration?
So Decollet Decoration is a... I mean, yeah, it's a visual novel, but... like there's also an environment that you're supposed to be clicking on during it. So here's what happens. All right. You're this girl, you're going to visit this guy that you're really interested in and whoa, something happens and you just die like right in front of his house. And so before you can like float off to heaven, even though it turns out that that's what wasn't what was happening anyway, you kind of like float up to his doorway and you end up in his apartment that he has, and you have 7 weeks until the ascension of all the souls currently wandering around the earth. You know, you all ascend, and what you're trying to do is make it so your boyfriend wants to ascend with you. Or, as I should say, this guy that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that's not too much of a spoiler. But, yeah, so pretty much what ends up then happening is that you're set up with a story, and then you have 4 different actions that you can do. You can be a poltergeist. You can try talking. You can... put a curse on him, or you can appear in his dreams. But you're only able to do one activity per week, and then you have to figure, like, you have to decide what you're going to do each week. And there's meters that are not available for you to see. I believe there's some wall art on the wall that I feel like has something to do with the, like, what's going on, but I wasn't able to decipher it. But you have to like make these kind of decisions as to like what you're going to do, what order you're going to do it in. Cause I mean, remember you have 7 weeks. And so like your first 4 weeks might need to be like, it might just be 4 weeks of cursing and then, you know, 3 weeks of being in their dreams or something like that. Or it could be like you're in their dreams and then you try to talk and then you try to like, and almost in the end, it feels like you're just trying to brute force this thing just so you can figure out what the heck like is necessary to get all the different endings. I believe that there's 6 of them. I've gotten 2 of the bad ones. One of them you'll get no matter what. And then the other one only happened because, you know, I amazingly enough had figured it out. But it's not a long story. It's not like Raging Loop, where that was like the lore was constantly and the lore in the story were like constantly building throughout. And like, you know, you're running through all these different characters. There's really only 3 characters in this story. And so like there really isn't a lot of dialogue, especially dialogue that you haven't seen before. So it's a quick ditty. I went in there thinking it was going to be Raging Loop and it's not. So I mean like I don't know. Like, cause I figured like, oh, it's Kemco. It's going to be, you know, similar on that. But yeah, like I was disappointed that like it's something that like wasn't what or it wasn't what I was thinking it was going to be. But it's an interesting game. I just wish it wasn't so much brute force on figuring out what you need to be doing for those 7 weeks. Just to get the different endings, or like they could at least make it so like if it's just like order doesn't matter, but like how it shows up on like some sort of graph, like I wish they'd spoil that. You know what I mean? I don't know, like it's all right. It's just it's a lot shorter than I wanted it to be, and it doesn't feel like as much of a visual novel as I was hoping for it to be.
Gotcha.
You get me?
It's a $9 game. What do you think?
There's definitely enough gameplay in there for a $9 game. You know, it's good. Like, I'd give it a try. It like for $9, I'd give it a try. It like Yay. It's it, like. Like I feel conflicted about it, but it's just like I am disappointed as to like how short the story turns out to be in this thing. I wish there was more to it. So
that is on the cheaper side for Kemco Games. So I guess you got to keep them expectations in check, son. Get wrecked. Yeah. Anyway, that is it for this episode. We made it through. Congrats to the two of you for making it all the way through to the end with me. Thanks Yay. To Aki for coming on, doing what she could while she could. Since we talked about Find My Frogs, how about we play Frogs theme from Chrono Trigger? Or from, from Chrono Trigger.
Did anybody on OC Remix ever like do frog, like Frogs theme, like with frog sounds?
Somebody I am going that. To play you Aleshan's version.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I'll even play that after the stream. So yeah, we're going to listen to Aleshan. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Frog butts.
Frog butts. Strike my computer, so you die. I will drop a diamond, don't you die, make you run. Don't commit my enemy.